In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is risen. We scream this thunderous cry. We come after this glorious week, having celebrated a beautiful Pascha, I'd say one of the greatest in all my years as an Orthodox Christian. Certainly as a priest, we spent 40 days, 48 days, in a holy time of struggle together. And it was the most dedicated time I've ever seen together of consistent people struggling for the kingdom of God. So I'm so thankful to all of you. I'm thankful to God for your efforts. We must keep them up. And because of that, we had the most glorious Pascha, the most beautiful resurrection service. We've been basking in the light of the resurrection all week. We had no fasting this past week. We're screaming, Christ is risen. Our prayers are different. We're rejoicing, hopefully singing the hymns of the church. Hopefully all of us is trying to cry out that Christ is risen. And because He is, I am too. Now you might notice a dip this week. People kind of dip and go, oh, I thought it was so great. I thought Christ was risen, but my life still stinks. Here's the deal. Your circumstances aren't going to change. Your junky boss isn't going to go away all of a sudden, right? Or your family's not going to change overnight, and your habits aren't going to change. What changes? That you wake up to the reality that Christ is always with you, and He's deathless, and if you believe in Him, you're not going to die, and He can fill you with divine life, and you can act differently. You can love that boss who you didn't before. You can love your wife in a way you didn't before because of your egotism, your children. You can find joy in any circumstance because the living God is with you and He's in you and you're not going to die either. It's the most awesome thing to ever happen in the history of the world, and people have made a dead religion out of Christianity when it's life. It's supposed to be radiant life, and that's what we're experiencing this week, and we have to keep it well beyond this week. This Sunday is a very special Sunday. It's called Thomas Sunday. The icon in the back, look at St. Peter and Paul, it's next to it. You see St. Thomas sticking his fingers in his side. The world mocks St. Thomas, not us. He doubted, but the church says the doubt of Thomas became our belief. He didn't believe, lots of us are skeptical, and he touched his fingers in his side, my Lord and my God. He believes that we can believe. He answered our questions, and the fathers say, we don't just get to touch people. Oh, if I can touch his side, I believe too. You don't get just to touch his side. In Holy Communion, I am living bread. If you eat my body and drink my blood, you don't just touch him. He comes into you and fills all of you. Much more intimate. And that's what the Lord says. Blessed are those who believe without seeing. Us, 2,000 years later, who believe no less. The same Lord walks the earth no less. The Holy Spirit, same Holy Spirit, same church in the day of Pentecost, same in the Holy Orthodox Church. Our joy should be just as radiant as theirs was. The apostles who had the Lord in their midst, when He left after the ascension, they were sad. But the Holy Spirit came and filled them full of everything, and they were never sad because He said, lo, I am with you to the end of the world. I'll never abandon you. And so we love the doubt of Thomas. It gives us belief. It's also called anti-Pascha. We're funny in English. We think anti means against. It doesn't. In Greek, anti or anti means in place of. So anti-Pascha literally means in the place of the resurrection. So this is the day when the church said, because Thomas didn't see it, now we see the resurrection. And the apostles made every Sunday, every Saturday night and Sunday, the cycle made every Sunday Easter. Every weekend is the Lord's Day, Kyriaki in Greek. Right? In Russian, the word for Sunday is Voskresenye, Resurrection Day. Right? Even communist atheists said that. Right? The culture was informed by it. So from that time, think about if you approached every Saturday night and Sunday morning liturgy with the same joy and anticipation that you had getting ready for Easter this year. You can. And if you do, that's what a resurrected, radiant life offers, is offered to you. And it's so life-changing. That's what we're celebrating today, is that you don't have to lose your apostolic joy. Oh, it's a week, it's over. No. What we're saying is that this goes on forever, and it's every weekend, and we can constantly be full of the Lord's resurrected joy. I know we suffer. I know we struggle. We all have struggles in many ways. But I want to give you an example today of a very holy love of the feast. How can I love the feast if I'm sick? How can I love? You can love Christ in every circumstance because He loves you. And I read this. I will weep through this. I hope they cannot. This is a letter from 1928. A very holy young man who was 35 years old was in the prison camp in Russia for his faith. And he was there for 5 years in prison. And he wrote this letter on eve of Pascha to his family. Listen to this, to his uncle. Dear Uncle Grishanchik, Christos Voskresi, Christ is risen. I greet you and Aunt Masha with the holy impending day. I wish you all the best. For so long I have wanted to write to you, my dear uncle. You always showed such love for me. You always helped me so generously in difficult moments of my life. And mainly, your entire image is so inseparably linked for each of us, your nephews, with such incredible, wonderful memories. You always were and will always be our dearest uncle. Here's a person in prison camp who's gloating over somebody else and not whining. I am approaching the fourth Easter I will spend behind these prison walls, separated from my family, but the feelings for these holy days, which were infused in me from earliest childhood, do not fail me now. Raise your kids in the church. From the beginning of Holy Week, even in prison, I have felt the approach of the feast. I follow the life of the church. I repeat to myself and sing the hymns of the Holy Week services. And in my soul, there arise those feelings of tender reverence that I used to feel as a child, going to confession, going to communion, going to the holy services. At 35 years old, those feelings are as strong and as deep as in those childhood years. He goes on, reading the whole letter to you. He goes on to talk all about the services he remembers as a kid, how much he loved going to church with his uncle. Do you remember this service and that service and Holy Friday? How wondrous it was. Don't be surprised that I'm writing this way. I don't think I'm exaggerating anything. It's just that I feel great emotion remembering all these things, because I am continuously breaking off to go to the prison window and listen. A quiet, starry night hangs over Moscow, and I can hear first one, then another church, the successive gospels marked with the slow strikes of the bell. And I think of all of us and how we used to be in church together. He picks the pen a little bit later. They've allowed me to finish writing my letter, and I sat down to finish it this holy night to you, O uncle. Any minute now, Pascha matins will start. In our prison cell, everything is clean. And on our common table stands the kulich, the holy bread they make in Russia, and the Pascha cheese, and a huge XV. You see over the altar, XV, for Christ is risen, Christos Voskresi. We made it this year with fresh lettuce and watercress over it. Our table is beautifully arranged in a white tablecloth, and we have colored eggs around. It is unusually quiet in the prison cell. In order not to arouse the guards, we all lay down on our cots. There are 24 of us in joyful anticipation of the bells. And I sat down again to write to you. He says, Dear Uncle, as I've been writing to you again, the scattered ringing around Moscow has become a mighty festive peal. Processions have begun. The sounds of firecrackers reach us. One church after the other joins the growing din of bells. The wave of sound swells. There, somebody, somewhere nearby, a small church breaks through with the common choir and their exultant voices. Sometimes it seems it'll stop, and then a new wave rushes in, a new church, a grand hymn between heaven and earth. I cannot write anymore. That which I hear now in my ears is too overwhelming. It's too good. My life is too good right now to try to convey in words. The beautiful sermon of St. John of the Resurrection seems to rise from the mighty peal of praise. My dear uncle, Grishanchik, it is so good in my soul. It is so good in my soul. In prison. It is so good in my soul that the only way I can express my spirit is to say to you with all my heart, once again, Christ is risen. Wow. If he could have joy like that in hell, and he died. He died the next year in the prison camp, never made it out. But his soul was not hindered by the four walls of that prison. Because a person who falls in love with Jesus Christ and is baptized, like our newly baptized people with the white robes, their life is different. But if it's only words and lighting a candle here and there and going through the motions, you will not be changed. You'll be in a prison, though you're free. Brothers and sisters, Thomas put his fingers in his side. Don't be faithless. Be believing. If you do, miracles happen. What kind of miracles? You're not depressed. You're not sad. You're a joy to other people. You're not afraid of dying. And in the worst possible suffering in a prison camp, you could have the radiant joy of this young man, 35 years old, because he was raised in the church and he loved Jesus Christ more than anything. May we, from the prayers of St. Thomas, by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, may we love our resurrected Savior more than anything, and may He illumine all the darkness of our hearts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen.